you like the weather we're having? Hot enough for you? One thing you can be really sure about in Houston, if you don't like the weather, stick around for a couple hours, it'll change. This whole area is really famous for radical weather changes. Some storms come up pretty fast, and they can do a lot of damage. But almost all the time, if there's a really, really big storm, like a hurricane coming, we generally get plenty of warning. The guys are getting real accurate in predicting the course of a hurricane. And so we've been very fortunate, and we hope it stays that way. But did you know that it wasn't always like that? There was a time not that many years ago when they had no idea which way a hurricane was going to go. And it was like everybody just hunkered down and anywhere near the path. And a lot of people got complacent because they would predict a hurricane is going to come this way and it wouldn't come. And so they'd done all the preparations and evacuated, and it was all for nothing. Well, in 1957, it wasn't all for nothing. One of the first days of August, one of the first days of hurricane season, Hurricane Audrey bloomed in the Gulf, and it headed due north for Cameron, Louisiana. And it was like from the time the hurricane first became a hurricane until it hit land was less than 3 days. Hundreds of people were unprepared and died in that storm. And you know, there are a lot of places in the world right now that don't have the luxury of warnings, even today. I really feel sorry for the poor people in Mexico because even though we can tell the officials that the storm is coming and going to hit them, they don't have the communications to let everybody know that they need to run away from the hurricane. You know, we're really spoiled by the forecasts we get on big storms and the communications that allow us to find out about it. But you know, sometimes thunderstorms just pop up, right? They say it's going to be fair today. It rains like cats and dogs, even when we aren't prepared. Today's lesson is going to be about an unexpected storm that happened a very, very long time ago. And for the text, we're going to look at Luke 8, verse 22. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. Now, the lake that Luke is talking about is what we now call the Sea of Galilee. And it's in a valley in northern Israel, and it's surrounded by mountains. It's a small lake. It's only about 13 miles long, and at its widest, it's 7.5 miles wide. And that whole area is sort of famous for furious, sudden violent storms. The winds blowing off the mountains can just whip up a storm in 30 minutes. It can be clear and fair sailing, and 30 minutes later, you're in a storm. So, Jesus and his disciples lived in a little town called Capernaum on the shore of that lake. So they were kind of used to that weather. Capernaum is on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee, kind of a little bit to the west. And they were traveling over to the eastern shore, which really isn't that far, only a few miles. They were headed for a region in the eastern shore of the lake called the Decapolis. Now, if you can follow the Greek, Deca means 10, Apolis means city. So it really, in effect, the region is called 10 cities, and that's because there were 10 cities there. Remember the story of Jesus healing the demon-possessed man in Gadara? That event occurs on this very trip. They were on their way over to the place where that healing would take place. But look what happens on the way across. This is verse 23. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. Okay, one of those freak afternoon thunderstorms came up, right? And they're caught out on the lake in the storm. And Luke tells us that they were in real danger. They could be swamped and drowned. Now, I want you to know, the first time I read this story, I wonder how in the world can Jesus sleep through a storm like that, right? I suppose one explanation is that Jesus, being who he was, knew he wasn't in danger. He had no fear for his own personal safety or the safety of those with him. He was sensing no danger. He was safe in God's hands. But the other possible explanation is he was testing the disciples. Just a little bit, wanting to see what they would do. I want you to keep that thought in mind. We're going to come back to it later, but for now, look what happens next in verse 24. The disciples went and woke him, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the winds and the raging waves, the storm stopped, and all was calm. So, I mean, it's clear from this that the disciples were really frightened. I mean, they felt their lives were in danger. So, what did they do? Did they try to get the boat to shore by the shortest route? No. They woke up Jesus. They had to have some kind of faith that he could save them. And sure enough, Jesus rebukes the storm. He simply commands the storm to stop, and it stops. Suddenly everything is calm, and they're sailing on smooth water again, like there had never been a storm. Now, if there was any doubt in any of their minds that Jesus was not the Son of God, this definitely proved to them that he was. And look what he does next, verse 25. Then he asked them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked one another. "When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him." Okay, Jesus noticed how panicky the disciples were. So after he stops the storm, he asked them, "Where is your faith?" It's like he's asking them, "Did you forget I was here? Haven't you seen me perform miracles before?" Don't you know you are safe wherever I am? Those are the very questions we need to ask ourselves today whenever we feel threatened by the storms of life. First, where is our faith? Don't we know Jesus is here with us right now in the midst of whatever struggles we're going through? Haven't we seen Jesus perform miracles before? Don't we know that we are safe whenever Jesus is with us, no matter what our circumstances are? But look at the reaction of the disciples. They are filled with awe and amazement. Sure, they've seen plenty of stuff from Jesus before, but this had to be pretty incredible. And they ask one another, "Who is this man?" When he gives a command, the winds and the waves obey him. I think they were able to answer one of their questions pretty easily. Here was absolute proof to them that Jesus was who he said he was. He was the divine Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. And this story should be proof enough for even the most skeptical inside of us. Three different eyewitnesses have recorded this story in three of the four Gospels. Who is this man that even the winds and waves obey him? The answer is obvious, and it's the first lesson we need to learn from this story. But there is much more to be learned from this. Do you remember I mentioned that perhaps Jesus was testing the disciples? He was asleep in the boat and didn't wake up when the storm came. It really, sincerely seems to me like the storm should have woken him up. I think maybe he was waiting to see what the disciples were going to do. Would they panic? Would they try to get the boat safe somehow? Or would they turn to him for help? But when I think about this as a test, it brings up another important question. Couldn't Jesus have prevented the storm? Since he has the power to stop the storm, couldn't he have caused it never to come up at all? This is what it makes me think Jesus was testing the disciples. He allowed the storm to come up so they could learn a valuable lesson. And it's clear that they learned it. Yeah, they were panicked. They were afraid for their lives. But their first response was to turn to Jesus. Jesus, they knew, would save them. And then they knew they could turn to him in any circumstance. And we need to know that too. Are we aware that no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, no matter what we're going through at the time, Jesus is the answer to our problems? But only if we will turn to him in our distress. I mean, you know that wind and rain are not the only kinds of storms that we encounter. We have all kinds of storms in our lives that have nothing to do with the weather. Some of us have conflicts with other people. Sometimes these conflicts are with people that are very important to us. Some of us have employment problems. We have health problems. Either ourselves or someone close to us. Sometimes people we love pass away. Some of us have legal problems. Some of us have problems with transportation. Jesus can help us with all these different storms in our lives. I'm going to tell you, while I have been walking with Jesus, I have had many storms in my own life. For example, both of my parents have passed away. And many of you know we had a godson in the army and he was killed in Iraq. Several close friends, like we were talking about a while ago, have gone on to be with the Lord. You see, death is a necessary part of life. It's important for us to remember that none of us are going to get out of this life alive. But that doesn't make it any easier on those of us left behind. One thing I've noticed about these losses is that the closer I am to Christ, the easier it is to endure and carry on. See, I have to ask myself that same question that Jesus asked the disciples in that boat. Where is my faith? I just need to remember that Jesus is here with me, and by George, I have seen him perform miracles. Don't I know that I'm safe wherever he is here? By drawing close to Christ in times like this, I can get real comfort and healing. It's as through experiences like this, I have been able to grow spiritually. It's only by facing adversity and enduring it that I've grown as spiritual as I am. Now, I'm sure some of you must be saying, I don't want Jesus to give me the strength to endure suffering. I want him to take away the suffering so I don't have to do it. Well, I have two answers for that question. The first question I have is, how do you know he hasn't? If he's taken away the suffering before you experienced it, then you'd never know about it. And the second thing is, we will never grow spiritually if God removed all suffering before we experienced it. A few years ago, I had a dear friend who experienced a major storm in his life. He was arrested on a very old charge. He had long since repented of the action that brought about the charge, but he had never straightened out the situation with the authorities. Then, just by chance, he got caught in just a regular traffic stop. When they ran his ID, they discovered who he was, and they arrested him on that old charge. I watched him struggle with that situation, and it was really a wonderful thing to see. He accepted the situation he had landed in. He wasn't bitter or complaining. He didn't go into the old poor me routine. He prayed regularly and depended on Jesus to see him through the ordeal. And God gave him the strength, the endurance, and the patience to overcome that situation. And sure enough, when all the smoke cleared, he was able to look back on it and see he was now better off than he had been before it all happened. From then on, you see, he didn't have to be looking over his shoulder wondering when they were going to arrest him. He had paid his debt to society, and he was free from worry. See, his past no longer had the ability to affect his future. He was a free man. I mean, some of you may know about the legal problems that one of our more current members had, and it was wonderful to see how he handled it. God gave him the patience and the peace to deal with it. He was confident that the situation would be resolved to his advantage. But this doesn't mean that he didn't have doubts, because he did. And there were days when he was depressed by the whole situation. But each time, God would lift him up and restore his confidence. And today, he's stronger and knows that whatever happens, it is always better to depend on God than on his own resources. You know, either one of these two examples, these folks could have approached their situations very differently. They could have relied on their own strength and on their own resources. They could have allowed their circumstances to weaken their faith and tear them down instead of building them up. I don't know for sure what would have happened to them if they would have tried it on their own. But I do know there would have been a whole lot more emotional turmoil and lack of peace. And they would never have found that peace that comes only from reliance on God. And they would not have grown spiritually through the experience. Recently, a friend of mine suffered a severe storm in her life. She was elderly, like in her 60s, and she lost her job through no fault of her own. The company got sold and everybody from her office was let go. She had worked for that company for decades. And now she has to look for a new job when she hadn't in 20 years. It can be very, very difficult for an elderly person to find a good job. So this really created a great deal of stress and emotional turmoil. But she had a deep faith that everything was going to be all right, that Jesus would help her through whatever happened. She was unemployed for quite a while, but her faith never wavered. Throughout the entire time, God gave her the peace that passes all understanding. Finally, She was able to find another job that met her needs. So I would wonder, what do you think would have happened to her if she hadn't been able to rely on Jesus throughout this ordeal? Well, her actions would have been similar, right? If not the same. She had to do the legwork, looking for jobs, applying for jobs, and interviewing for jobs. But would she have found a job as quickly or as good a job as she found? I don't know. But I do know that she would not have been as peaceful and would have undergone a great deal more turmoil and emotional distress if she had been relying on her own strength. And most importantly, she would not have grown spiritually through that ordeal. No matter what we're going through, no matter how bad things seem to be, if we let Him, God will make something good come out of it. And the first good thing that will happen is that we will grow spiritually. We will be stronger because of what we went through. One of the most common types of storms that many of us have endured is relationship problems. I have lost count of the number of people I know that are having relationship problems of one kind or another. Problems with family members, problems with spouses, problems with employers, problems with co-workers, problems with friends. There's probably no type of problem in our lives that can cause as much stress and emotional discomfort as a relationship problem. So how do we deal with troubling relationships? First of all, we need to realize we don't have the ability to change the other person. The only person we can change is ourselves, and that only if God helps. So the obvious question is, how do we get God to help? The answer to that question is the answer to how to deal with any trial in life. We need to develop a relationship with God through which we can actually be changed into a different person. We should all know that we don't have the power to change who we are. We are who we are, and we might be able to act out of character for a time, but when push comes to shove, we revert back to who we are. Only God has the power to remake us into a new person. And He will only do that if we ask Him to, and then cooperate with Him in doing it. And this kind of a change starts with prayer. Now, I've always recommended to those I sponsor and those in the church, everyone start and end their day with prayer. At a minimum, in the morning, I have 4 prayers that I pray always, every day. And they're related to steps 1, 3, 7, and 11. Step 1, I thank God for keeping me sober all these years and ask Him to keep me safe from any kind of absurd behavior today. That reminds me that my recovery comes from God, and it's not something I did on my own. Step three, I ask God, I offer this day to God, and I ask Him to take away from me all the bondage of self that I'm wrapped up in. And that reminds me that true happiness comes from serving God and serving others. Step seven reminds me that it's through God's power that I am changed. And for me to be reminded every day to cooperate with that power, I pray for God to take away all my defects of character, especially those that stand in the way of my usefulness to Him and my fellows. And hopefully most of you know what the 11th step prayer is about. I ask God for the knowledge of His will for me that day and the power to carry that out. That reminds me that I have devoted myself to following God's will every day. And I do want to remind you, those four prayers is the minimum I do. I then go on to pray for any specific things that come up, special needs we have, or things we would like God to do for others. For instance, that prayer list, I pray over that every day. Don't forget that we also have to offer praise to God and thank Him for all He has already done. Okay, that covers the morning, but then at the end of each day, I need to review my day and see if there are things I did that I shouldn't have done, or things that I should have done but I left undone. And when I see these things where I came up short, I ask God to help me do better tomorrow. And if any of my actions harm someone else, I need to make amends for that as soon as possible. Now remember, I said the change of who we are begins with prayer. Prayer will allow us to draw closer to Christ, but believe it or not, that is not enough. We need to learn as much about Christ as we can. Remember that one of our more important prayers is to know and do God's will for us each day? Well, it's a lot easier to know God's will for me if I know more about God. And the best way to learn more about God is to regularly read and study the Bible. I've always encouraged everyone to read at least something out of their Bible every day. Doesn't have to be a lot, but it does have to be regular. I usually read 2 chapters of Scripture every day. One from the Old Testament and one from the New. This really doesn't take long at all, but the benefits are amazing. Each day, I learn a little bit more about God and a little bit more about how God wants me to be. So that's really the bottom line of tonight's lesson. If we want to be able to endure the weather, the storms of life, if we want to be able to handle life's problems, If we want to be able to deal with life on life's terms, then we need to turn to God and ask Him to change us into stronger, more capable people. And we do that by studying God's Word and learning what it is He expects from us. Then, and only then, can God remake us into the people we always wanted to be but never could on our own. Pray with me, please. Lord, we thank You for Luke and his message. We thank You that You taught the disciples and therefore You taught us to turn to You for everything. Lord, we commit to that now. We pray that You would help us to always turn to You first. Never try to do it on our own and make a bigger mess. That we would turn to You immediately and You would then help us to live life on life's terms. Help each and every one of us, Lord, each day to become a little bit more like You. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.